drop off pass, it hands it off to Dorsett, drives, touchdown!
The 4 o'clock hour is sponsored by Boozer's Jewelers, the wedding ring store, specializing in custom jewelry and repair, all in-house. Here's David Smoke, Paul Catalina, and Craig Smoke.
Here we go, this 4 o'clock hour. This next guest, at one point, played in 135 consecutive games, one of the highest numbers in Cowboys history. Now, think about the legendary names that they've had. He also still, to this day, has played in more Cowboys playoff games than anybody at 27. D.D. Lewis, former Cowboys linebacker who played at Mississippi State, joins us. Craig and Paul, I'm David Smoke on Sikkim 365 Radio. How much does the continuity, the longevity, your endurance, and the success you enjoyed, how much does that still mean to you today?
Oh, I tell you, I just have to depend on God to lead me around. But in a sense, when I was playing for the Cowboys, I was drafted in the sixth round. They drafted two linebackers, one in the third and one in the fourth. And I was just afraid that I couldn't make it in the pros. So, you know, as things happened, they had a guy from Missouri that was drafted in the third round. He got drafted in the Army. And then the guy from Louisville for middle linebacker, he didn't work out. They kept him for a year, I guess, to keep from being embarrassed. But and then other people came and went. They all wanted to play immediately. And I felt like I was just lucky to be around. And it turned out to be a good thing for me.
Didi, I was watching some old highlight film today, just, you know, getting ready for the interview and stuff like that. When, especially in those Super Bowl highlights, every time there's a defensive play, you were in the picture. I mean, you were somewhere around the ball. Were you kind of always that player that just had a nose for the ball? Is that something that's instinctual, or is that something you learn?
That's defense. I was a middle linebacker all my life, and at Mississippi State too, and made a lot of tackles. But, you know, if you are going to loaf or not pursue the ball carrier, you're not going to make very many tackles. And I learned in high school, my coach, my senior year, I weighed 185 pounds. He said, Didi, you can tackle people with your upper body. You don't have to tackle them with your shoulder. So I started hitting them in the chest with my face mask, and turns out that my helmet hit them in the chin, and that worked out pretty good. But the body's got to go where the head goes. But anyway, I got faked out a lot of times, though. I remember Terry Bradshaw faked me out so bad I got a 15-yard penalty for grabbing my own face mask.
What? Yeah, can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, the referee made a mistake. He saw me grab my own face mask. Anyway, but it was a great thing, but defense is about pursuit, you know, getting there in a hurry, and you couldn't think, you had to react, and that's what Landry put into us. So anyway, it's a great time.
Hey, Didi, I was reading that when you were first picked up by the Cowboys, and there was talk about your size and all of that, but you actually played a little bit of center in training camp. Is that right? What was that experience like?
Oh, that was horrible. You know, it's like when you have to go to camp, and here I am as a rookie, got two guys drafted in front of me, and we have to run Landry's mile. And that's four times around the track, 440s. You get 60 seconds, a minute to rest, and then take off again. And so I was with the rest of the group on the first lap. And then about a third, the way around on the second lap, it was either pull up or throw up. So I told him, I said, look, I got a bad calf here. And so at the end of it, I asked Landry if I could try it again. And he looked at me, he said, yeah, but I don't think you can make it. So anyway, I took off on the first lap, and a guy out of the bleachers came down on the track and started running with me. And he says, come on, Diddy, I'll gauge you on this. You can make this in time. And sure enough, I did. But I made it, but I didn't make a good impression. We were going to go up and play the San Francisco 49ers, our offense against their defense. And so we needed the center, and I played center at Mississippi State too. So I went down there and played, and then we came back to Thousand Oaks, and we were going to play the 49ers in 2 days with our defense against their offense. Well, I'd been playing center. I didn't know how you play outside linebacker. And I can remember Landry says, D, he said, you look like a cow running around out there. So I said, oh, thanks, coach. I appreciate that. I didn't say that. I didn't say a word. But anyway, that's the beginning of my football. It wasn't very clear that I was going to make the team. And so when John Douglas got drafted into the Army, and it looked a lot better. But the thing is, they had the All-Star game in Chicago, and the guy that played for LSU, I can't remember his name. I can't remember a lot of people's names. But anyway, he was the one they picked to play in the All-Star game. Well, he got hurt, so they asked me to come. And here I am. I'm trying to make this team, and they send me to Chicago. I mean, it's great playing on the All-Star games, but I played in that game, and I came back, and I saw Ray Nitschke in a bar that night, and he asked how I was doing. I said, well, I think they're going to cut me. He said, well, go out there and make it on the specialty teams. He said, that's what I did. And so I came back and just kind of went nuts on the specialty teams. And lo and behold, things worked out.
How about that? Ray Nitschke is the one that gives you that advice. I just read this, that you're named D.D. Lewis, is Dwight Douglas. You're named after Dwight Eisenhower and Douglas MacArthur. Is that correct?
Exactly. We ran out of names. And I happen to be born in 45, so but I'm the youngest of 14 kids. Everybody else was kind of named after a part of the family. And so I guess Dad and Mom were just patriotic and named me. I'm being called Dwight now.
Okay.
At age. So I kind of like it. It's a pretty cool name.
You served a year in the military. Is that correct? A year after you were drafted? Is that, you mentioned,
yes,
Douglas.
Sir.
Yeah. And so you just, yeah. You, was it Vietnam?
No. I played in 68. John Douglas went to Vietnam at that time. In 69, they called me up. So in August of 69, I had to go to basic training. But I got into the National Guard up in Knoxville, Tennessee. So I didn't have to go to Vietnam. And thank goodness I didn't. But I had to serve 6 years in the National Guard, and that's how I got out of it. And so I got to play the third year that when we came back, John Douglas and I had to bump heads and see who could make it, and they shipped him off to New York and kept me. So I took Ray Nitschke's advice and kind of went nuts on the specialty teams and got their attention. So.
You played with so many different Hall of Famers and great players and iconic people. Was there a player on that team that you guys were even kind of in awe of that was so good? Like one guy that stands out to you that you played with all those years?
Oh, man, there were a bunch of them. I tell you, one of the players that always impressed me was Larry Cole. he was a free agent, but he could play tackle and he could play defensive end. And he did from the get-go. He started and he's very smart and figure out angles and way to do it. But there were a lot of people like that. Don Meredith, of course, Lily, Randy White, Hollywood Henderson. These guys are unbelievable talents. But Don Perkins, the fullback they had here at Dallas, was an excellent ball player in this system. Of course, there was Pete Gent and Lance Rensel. Just a lot of people out there pushing the envelope. But I didn't know how to be with a group of people. So Chuck Haley ended up getting hurt in 1972. And I got to finish the season. Charlie Taylor tore Hallie's knee up on a crackback block, and so they put me in. So that started my career as a starter. And we went out and beat San Francisco, and it was just a good time.
I mentioned the streak of games started. Games played, and also the most playoff games, the five Super Bowls as well. You said you weren't used to being around a big group. You had 14 children in your family.
Right. Well, and that caused a lot of problems. But there's not too many of us now. We're running down, but. It's whether you have a good family that'll teach you values or principles to live by. But the way we were raised, we were just scuffling any way we could, and that doesn't leave too much of a good impression a lot of times on other people. So.
Dede Lewis is our guest on Sikkim 365 Radio. Mississippi State, that's where you played. You were really good there. You were all conference there. They now have Mike Leach as their head coach. Yeah. They've been through some names all the way the last few years. What are your thoughts? He's a little bit different now. He's a hell of a football coach. What are your thoughts about Mike Leach?
Oh, yeah. I got to meet him out in Texas Tech at a football gathering, and I think the world of him. I think he's got a great mind for offense, and it's according to if he can get the players. Now they're talking about the running back they have. He says if they don't change the flag, he's not going to be around. But if it's not one thing, it's another. And then the pandemic that we have, it may just ruining the season, but I don't know how they're going to do it. But Leach, I can't wait to see him in person again. I think he's an excellent coach. And it's just the fact that Mississippi State can get the players, and they have in the last 20 years been able to do that. So anyway, we like to go over there and watch them play and talk about old times. We won one game my senior year at Mississippi State.
Wow.
We came out and beat Texas Tech in the Lubbock first sandstorm I got to see. But we beat them. So John Stovall, the quarterback, every time I see him, he says, yeah, he said, we beat Texas. And everybody was excited, but we couldn't land in Lubbock because the students were on the tarmac. He said we had to land in Amarillo, and they put us on school buses.
Yellow
school buses and rode back. And that's what those guys were thinking about. They weren't thinking about Mississippi State. So I think we punted on the third down instead of passing the ball, But anyway, it was a great victory, but we didn't win very many games. But I got to play a lot of good SEC football, and it worked out for me.
Your career record when you were at MSU was not – the team did not have a stellar career. You mentioned that as far as your wins and losses, but you were SEC. You made all SEC. You were in the College Football Hall of Fame. You're in the Mississippi and Tennessee State Sports Hall of Fame. That says quite a bit, DD, about Dwight, about how you can do that despite that you weren't on a team that won a lot. That really kind of might even be like your slogan, right? That
I got to tell you, we had a our PR guy was a guy named Bob Hartley, and Johnny Majors was the coach down there at that time, and he left right when I came, and they had Ken Donahue, was defensive coordinator. He went to Alabama for 20 years. Vince Dooley's brother played at North Carolina. So anyway, they all left when our recruiting team got there, and it was just very tough. My sophomore year, we beat Florida, Steve Spurrier in Florida, and we were in the top 10 in the U.S. of A, and we lost to the last six games on our schedule. So it's a tough place to play because you got Ole Miss, you got Alabama. They're less than 110 miles from Mississippi State. Plus, you got Southern, and you got of course LSU and all the other schools. But the thing that drew me down there was that they'd gone to Liberty Bowl that year before. And I got to watch them play Tennessee, who hadn't won since 57. But getting back to Bob Hartley, he was a great publicity guy. The Southeast Conference was trying to build up the blue and gray game. So they had a dinner for all the people that were members of the blue and gray, and I was sitting at a table with the old Missouri coach, the guy that invented the split tee. But we went up to Wisconsin and had a golf tournament, try to build up the blue and gray football game. So I'm playing with Johnny Majors. And the first thing he said, "DD, let me ask you something. You think you'd ever made All-American without Bob Hartley?" And it just broke my heart. He certainly backed me. But, I didn't want to be rude to Johnny Majors. But I should have said, who was your publicity guy or something, But anyway, if it happens, I don't know why or how come. So,
it's been great talking to you, Didi. It's been wonderful.
Thank you. You got a great name.
My dad has a great name, and then his dad, and all the way back to where it came from.
Well, are you guys in San Antonio?
No, we're in Waco, Central Texas. Okay. Yeah, in Waco. Okay. Yeah.
Spent a few summers there at the fort down there.
Fort Hood. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, David. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Didi. That's Dwight Douglas Lewis. Man, it's great talking to him. You had the names like Howley and Jordan and Edwards, Dave Edwards, and Didi Lewis. Think about this, the history of the Cowboys franchise. 135 consecutive starts, third in team history, I believe. I don't know if that may have, there's probably one or two that might have maybe jumped inside of that. And one of only eight NFL players who have played in five Super Bowls. Now, the Super Bowl doesn't go 100 years back. It goes back to 1967 or 8, 66 or 67. Five Super Bowls. And still to this day, the most playoff games played by a Cowboys player, 27. He was at their beginning of the 1970s run and at the end of the late 1960s as well, drafted out of Mississippi State. Great guy. Great memory.